Good morning, everyone. We're going to get started, so I'll call to order the Senate Committee on Judiciary. Thank you for being here. We have a number of bills that are on our agenda today. I'm going to give you a preview, and for those who are here that might think something's happening today, it may not be. So, public hearing, we will have public hearing and possible work session on Senate Bill 851. It appears we have all the paperwork and ready to go with Senate Bill 6, Senate Bill 54, Senate Bill 90, and Senate Bill 492. They are not ready to go at this point, and so we will be carrying those over or setting those for this coming Thursday, April 18th. That's the last day. So for those three bills, they will be carried over. We will not do any work with them today. Senate Bill 566 and 635 are ready to go. There will be referrals to Ways and Means if they pass out of committee. Senate Bill 610, we have everything except for our revenue, so we're waiting to see in fiscal.
We're just waiting for the fiscal.
All right, so we're waiting for the fiscal. So if that one comes in, we will work the bill today. If not, we'll need to set that one for Thursday as well. 799 and 798 are going to also be set for Thursday of this week, the 18th. So at this point, what we have in play at this point is 851, Senate Bill 6, Senate Bill 566, Senate Bill 635, and possibly 610. With that, let's go ahead and get started with our public hearing on Senate Bill 851.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 851 requires an investigation by the Oregon Board of Maritime Pilots upon allegation of over $150,000 property damage, loss of life or serious injury, collision with a bridge, or release of 50 gallons or more of oil, operating boat while intoxicated, gross negligence, or willful misconduct. Establishes a $100 fee for vessels entering or leaving Columbia River or Coos Bay, indexes the fee to the Consumer Price Index, and directs Public Utility Commission to appoint Executive Director, declares emergency effective July 1st, 2013. The Dash 1 Amendment removes the investigations part of the bill and limits the fee to $100 maximum. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right, thank you. I have three people that have signed up at this point, Tom Markgraf, Gary Lewin, and Ann McIntyre. If you three would please come forward.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, my name is Tom Markgraf, and I am the chair of the Oregon Board of Maritime Pilots. The board oversees the licensing and safety over the pilotage issues over Coos Bay, Yaquina Bay, the bar over the Columbia River, and the Columbia River. As you may know, it's composed of three public members, three pilot members, and three industry members, and only the public members can be officer holders. It's Oregon's oldest board. We were created while we were a territory in 1846 by Captain Flavelle. And a lot of things have changed since those days when pilots used to row over the Columbia Bar to get to ships. We now have a lot of technology, including radios and fast boats and helicopters. But as an industry, the Board of Maritime Pilots has not kept pace with the other boards like it around the country. This bill is actually driven by the need to do several things. Currently, the board needs to improve its structure and oversight with work-rest rules governing the maritime pilot assignments in accordance with the direction that we're receiving from the National Transportation Safety Board. We also need to strengthen our medical reporting and evaluating processes, and we need to be able to hire independent maritime investigators when there's an elision. That's when a boat or a ship hits something. We don't collide, we allide. We don't have any of these tools right now. And right now, the functioning of this really falls to the public members, which is wrong. Right now, we don't have sailing vessels anymore, but our board has not changed a whole lot since 1846 in a lot of ways. But the technology has. We have 1,000-foot ships coming up, and we don't have the ability to monitor the medical practices and needs of our pilots. Every other pilotage ground that I am aware of in the United States has that. We don't have that ability right now. Right now, it falls to me. I am not a doctor. And while we do receive some medical records, I cannot review those things. I am also not somebody who can do an investigation when there is an elision. We need to be able to have a string of people who can do that kind of work. What this really boils down to, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, is we would like to hire a halftime person. We'd like to hire a halftime person to manage that, because right now the volunteer board is not capable of doing that. I am not capable of managing the medical records and do the medical investigations of our pilots, which is so common in every other pilotage ground. This is an economic issue, because if there is a problem on the Columbia, if there is an elision, we will have, if we do not do the proper oversight, and it happens because of that, we'll have a major shutdown on the Columbia River, which affects a huge part of the economy here in Oregon. It affects all of Eastern Oregon. Well, it affects lots of the nation, because we have so much grain coming through the Port of Portland and the other ports along the Columbia River. So that's really fundamentally what it is. We would tack on a fee over the over ships coming up the river and down the river as they cross the bar. It is a small fee, I'm told, by industry, comparatively, and it is a small fee, I am told, by the pilotage groups. So we believe that this is a reasonable response. We think that this will make us a safer destination for shippers all across the world, because we'll have, not only do we have now some of the best pilots in the world, but we will keep them safer. And that's fundamentally what this is about, Mr. Chair.
All right, thank you. Who would like to go next?
Sure. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to be here today. My name is Captain Ann McIntyre. I am the Vice President of the Columbia River Pilots, and I've been a member of the Oregon Board of Maritime Pilots for the past 7 years, and I am here to speak today in support of the bill as a member of my organization and also as a member of the board. As Mr. Margraf has stated, the regulatory environment for pilotage has changed significantly within the United States, and I believe that the state of Oregon is significantly behind in their oversight in the areas of medical oversight, incident investigation, being able to respond to inquiries from federal authorities, and the burden on the public members is significantly high, and quite frankly, they don't have the expertise to exercise the duties of the board. Just an example for medical oversight, somebody could develop a medical condition and it would go unreported for a year, and even at that point, it might not. There's no medical review by doctors to confirm whether or not a pilot is able to perform duties. Again, with incident investigation, currently the vast majority of the incidents are investigated by members of the pilot organization that happens to be a board member as well. And really, I don't think that's appropriate. There should be independent review of incidents. And another thing is a selection process. When you look at other boards throughout the United States that oversee pilotage grounds of our size, our selection processes need to be more stringent and broader in how that we look at our candidates. Right now, we're getting by on a shoestring. I think the state is significantly exposed the way we operate, and I would urge you to pass this bill.
Thank you. I'm Captain Gary Lewin from the Columbia River Bar Pilots. I'm the administrative pilot for that pilot group. And I'm kind of the old-timer. I've been attached to this maritime industry since 1965, and I've been a pilot since 1983. Through that period of time, there's been just an avalanche of changes affecting our industry. It's all been regulatory changes, regulatory efforts to make it a safer and more environmentally sound industry. And that regulation, of course, falls on the Board of Maritime Pilots. They're responsible for our training, and so far they've been doing a wonderful job, but we've been working them like crazy. And there's a lot of expertise, as Ann mentioned, that they don't have. So it's a matter of not only trying to keep the board members up to date with what's changing in our industry, and maintaining continuity as these board members leave and new board members come on board. They do have 4-year terms and they do rotate through. So I think it's very important, just for the continuity aspect, to have some sort of person there who's been aware of what the industry has gone through, what the different pilot groups have gone through, what the different problems are from each pilot group, because we are different. We have different types of piloting duties. And the board so far, as I said, has been doing, I think, a good job, but it's very time-consuming. For our selection process for the bar pilots, it takes about 6 days up in Seattle. We go through simulator examination, interview processes. We do it twice. And so the board members have to leave their families, have to leave their jobs or whatever, and spend 6 days up there with us going through that examination process. Little things like that. Our training, just Saturday we had our, I'll back up, the NTSB is putting a lot of pressure on the state boards. Right now they're focusing on fatigue. It's a major issue. If a pilot goes to work fatigued, it's the same as going to work drunk. They've done studies to that effect. We have a zero tolerance policy for drinking. We need to have a zero tolerance policy for fatigue. And it's a complicated issue. I never thought it would be, but we've been involved in it for some time. We spent all Saturday, my entire pilot group, going through a fatigue workshop. And we need to report that to the board. They need to take some action to make sure we're not fatigued, make sure we have proper safeguards in place. And I can go on and on. And this is a very busy Senate committee, so I don't want to take up much of your time, but would prefer to answer any questions you might have. But the bar pilots actually welcome, believe it or not, regulatory oversight. We appreciate the oversight. We think it's for our safety. We think it's for the safety of the river, the safety of the environment. And safety equates to actually a cheaper system. One incident, New Carissa was, what, $56 million? It doesn't take much. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
All right, thank you. Questions for anyone on the panel? Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is probably a technical question, but looking at the dash one, which I'm assuming is what we're looking at, section 3(1) talks about vessel using the services, but then you get down to sub 2, A and B, it just mentions vessels entering or leaving. I'm wondering, I understand what you're after. I'm just wondering if that includes everything entering or leaving, or is there a further definite? I know what you want. I'm wondering if this is more expansive in language than it should be.
It's just for the vessels that are required by state law to have a pilot on board.
Right.
Okay. Mr. Chair, it's just, I understand what they're after. I'm just wondering if this language maybe is. And that's a question for LC, I suppose. So,
well, since they drafted it,
let's look at that. I believe that's to do with the statutes.
Okay, if there's definition already in statute, then I'm fine. I don't want my fishing boat to be assessed a fee.
No, your fishing boat is just fine. We don't want to chase you down either.
Yeah. So. No.
Don't think you need to worry about that. You might outrun them.
Okay.
Until they start shooting.
Section 7.
I was going to say, do you have an estimate of how much this will raise and what your part-time position would look like?
Yes, sir. We think that it would raise
There's a sheet.
There's a sheet.
Today
we think it would raise about $280,000 every other year. And the halftime position is about between $145,000 and $157,000 for 2 years. And it's a halftime position. And that's fully loaded.
Okay.
Follow-up?
Yeah. So the position we're hiring is the executive director position.
Yes, sir.
So they would still, medical oversight, that wouldn't be their job. They would go and hire.
They would contract, outside. Yeah. What we would do is we would contract usually with the doctor. That's how other pilotage groups do it.
Okay.
And we found, especially in San Francisco, when there was a major disaster 5 years ago called the Costco Busan, that there wasn't one single doctor overseeing everybody's medical records. And that proved to be a real recommendation for all pilotage groups around the world, actually. But we really paid attention to it on the West Coast. We don't have that right now. We don't have any of that right now. Right now, these records sit in an office. They're not well reported, and I don't have anybody looking at them. That's not good.
Okay. Any other follow-up?
Questions?
Yes.
Tom, can you tell me how you determine fatigue of your pilots?
I'm sorry, ma'am. I couldn't hear you.
How do you determine fatigue of your pilots?
Well, right now, there is a serious study going on with fatigue management for all pilots in the nation. And that is an area that has not been looked at very well in this industry. You've seen it with the trucking industry, and you've certainly seen it really well with the airline industry, and we haven't got that yet with the pilot industry. What the pilots are doing now, the bar pilots have already accomplished this with some serious analysis that they've hired out, and the river pilots are now underway with their fatigue analysis. They're hiring actually experts to come in and look at, and I can't remember this,
circadian
rhythms. Sorry. And to do the analysis of how long a pilot can actually serve before he or she can no longer think very clearly. When Gary was talking about them behaving like they're drunk, it really is behaving like they're drunk because they just haven't had enough rest. That really affects their judgment calls. We are fortunate that we haven't had an incident yet, we think, dealing with fatigue. But it's a matter of time. It's like playing Russian roulette.
Thank you.
So basically, whenever you come up with a standard, it'd be keeping a book like truck drivers do, probably.
Yes, and we are responding also to requests from the National Transportation Safety Board. Because they're on us to get going on this and to impose some standards, but yeah, it's like that.
If I can interrupt, it's very complicated for us because we don't work shift work. We're on call 24 hours a day.
Right.
And dependent upon traffic and ships, kind of like bananas, they come in bunches. We'll be working real quick and then time off. So
Right. Well, but if you had a logbook that you could. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
All right. I just want to make a quick comment. You know, just that the skill that it takes to be a pilot is pretty amazing. And
yeah.
Most people, I don't think about the fact that you've got this exceedingly heavy ship moving at a particular velocity. It's not going to change that. I mean, I don't care how good your engines are. You can maneuver it, but you're not going to stop it on a dime. So everything has to be thought out so far in advance, and they have to know the stuff so well. And I just, you know, you watch those people come and go, and you don't see any problems. It looks so calm and peaceful as they're going up the river or whatever. And yet, when you're on the deck, when you think about what they have, all the things they have to take in consideration, if they're coming to Portland and they have to go under that bridge, they have to be lined up long before they get to the bridge. And you know, and if anything goes wrong, it can be really disastrous. So I really do
appreciate.
And
with the new bridge, they won't be able to go under it at
all. A lot less problem then. Right?
Okay, that one's already out of here. All right. Any other questions or comments? Thank you all very much for coming forward.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who wants to give testimony today on Senate Bill 851? I don't see anyone jumping up. I'm going to go ahead and close the public hearing on 851, and it looks like we need to take the dash ones in, so we'll go ahead and open the work session for Senate Bill 851 for the purpose of adopting the dash ones.
I have a question, Mr. Chair, before that happens.
Well, why don't we get the motion there, and then we'll have the questions.
Got it. Okay. Mr. Chair, I move the dash one amendment in Senate Bill 851.
Senator Close moves the dash one amendments in the Senate Bill 851. Senator Dingfelder.
Well, I was curious. I'm assuming this goes to Ways and Means because it has a fee involved and there would have to be some collection mechanism. I mean, is that through, does the state collect that? How is that fee being collected? Because we had a similar bill in the Senate Environment Natural Resources where it set up a new fee, and we were advised to send it down to Ways and Means to make sure that the, you know, the budget all lines up. And so I'm just going to raise that issue.
Yeah. Well, I'm assuming it's association's dues, basically, in the sense that there's going to be just a fee. And I'm not sure what procedure they currently have for paying in, but I'm watching to see if Tom Colonan.
Yeah, how is that collected, Tom? Is that through?
Tom, before you answer, go ahead and put your name back on the record, please.
I'm Tom Markgraf. I'm the chair of the Board of Maritime Pilots. It's a standard procedure, pretty much, to give it unto the pilots, and then they just give it back over to the state. That's a collection fee that's been going on for quite a long time.
So just to follow up, if I may, I know we're not in public hearing, but work session, just to clarify. So there is a, is there a line item? I'm not on the subcommittee that oversees your budget. So is there a line item for the pilots?
Yeah. We are under the PUC.
Right.
They get that money, and okay. It goes into
So
them.
I would think we'd have to reconcile it through the PUC doesn't go through the subcommittee I'm on, but I'm through transport. Is it through transportation economic development?
I'm not sure.
Anyway, I've just raised it because
just because it's Monday morning, why not?
Well, exactly. I'm just trying to be consistent here in how we deal with
Well,
these.
We're not moving the bill.
Okay.
How's that? All we're doing is adopting the amendment.
Fair.
Is that fair enough?
Yeah.
All right.
I have no problem with the amendment. I will vote on it. I just want to make sure
Let's
we're being consistent.
Let's get this done, and then I'll say something about it. How's that?
In our policy.
All right. Any other discussion? Any objection to the dash ones? Not hearing any? Guess what? They're in the bill. So we're waiting for the paperwork. The paperwork may come in while we're here. If it comes in, we'll see what it says. I agree it more than likely is going to need to probably go to Ways and Means since we may not have the paperwork today. Anna, would you please check with the president's office to see if they want us to be moving it down there or what the parameters are depending on what the fiscal is. All right. With that, thank you very much. We'll close the work session at this point. May reopen it depending on whether the paperwork catches up. And at this point, we'll go ahead and start our work sessions that we know we can do. So I'll open up a work session on Senate Bill 6.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 6 was the animal bill proposed by Senator Courtney. We heard on March 25th. It substantially increases the penalties for animal abuse. It has a dash 5 amendment, and that dash 5 amendment adds language regarding unlicensed animal rescue organizations to the findings and declaration section, prohibits possessing animal from the same genus the underlying violation occurred, adds as soon as practicable to the 14-day hearing time, clarifies that the inspections authorized are for violations of the licensing and record-keeping requirements in Section 9. There's no revenue. And there is a fiscal statement issued. You should have it on your desk. And it's ready to move. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right, thank you. What I want to do is go ahead and, I guess, put on the record now before we go into motions. There was some questions regarding who would be actually covered or impacted by this change in the law. Specifically, there was a discussion as to whether or not an employer or owner would be obligated or liable for actions of an employee or someone that was caretaking. You should have on your desk a April 12th dated Legislative Council opinion, which basically sets forth when and how an individual owner or employer would be held accountable. And as it says in the second line in bold print, they have to basically be with the intent to promote or facilitate the commission of the crime. Then it goes into further. So as I told one of our members, it appeared to me that there would have to be some nexus based on the acts or where there's a legal duty and they fail to act for them to actually be potentially held accountable for criminal liability. So with that, we do need to adopt the dash fives, and you want me to have someone else?
I'm happy to do it. Go with the amendment. Mr. Chair, I move the dash 5 amendment into Senate Bill 6.
All right. Ms. Senator Close moves the dash 5 amendments into Senate Bill 6. Any discussion? Any objections? So ordered. We now have the dash 5s in the bill, and I'm not sure if you're ready to move or do you want me to have someone else do that? You want to take a moment?
I'm happy to move it.
Why don't we go for recess just for a moment, please? Anne?
Motion and second.
All right, we're back on the record, and just to set forth, we took a recess. We're in the middle of Senate Bill 6. We're in a work session. We've just adopted the Dash 5s. Senator Dingfelder, do you have a motion on the bill?
Yes, I do, Mr. Chair. I move Senate Bill 6 as amended with the Dash 5s to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Dingfelder moves Senate Bill 6 as amended by the Dash 5s to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussions?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I'm going to oppose this at this point in time. I need to do some further investigation into it. Maybe a yes on the floor, but at this point in time, just as a matter of caution, I'm going to be a no vote.
All right.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I will also be a no because it's going to a Class C felony. That is still a concern for some of the farmers, so I'll be a no.
All right, thank you. All right, we've had our discussion. Objections to the bill moving forward, I have Senator Cruz and Senator Close. Anyone else? With that, motion carries, and the bill will move forward. We will put Senator Courtney as the lead carrier. Senator Dingfelder can be backup if Senator Courtney doesn't want to carry the bill.
Mr. Chair, I want to serve notice of a potential minority report.
All right. And do you have anyone that might be potentially signing on with you?
What?
Potentially. Potentially, yes. And with that, we'll close the work session on the Senate Bill 6.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who's being harassed today.
It's one of those days, I think.
All right, so we're dropping down to Senate Bill 566. Open up work session on 566.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 566, we heard on April 4th. It's the bill that authorizes the state medical examiner to establish regions and assume responsibility for county medical examiner duties. It declares emergency effective on passage. There's no amendment. There's no revenue impact. There is a fiscal statement issued. It has a subsequent referral to... We're requesting a subsequent referral to Ways and Means,
yes.
Because of the fiscal. And there's a fiscal statement on your desk today, I believe. So we need a motion to add a subsequent referral.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 566 to the floor with a due pass recommendation that a subsequent referral be made to the committee. Made to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
All right, Senator Close moves Senate Bill 566 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation that a subsequent referral to the Committee of Ways and Means be added and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means based on that subsequent referral. How's that?
There we go.
That was very circular.
Yeah, I'm going to say that's pretty redundant.
I just used
but we'll have to re-script.
Circular was a nicer word.
I think we need to re-script the script. All right, any discussion? Yes, Senator Rowe.
I just want to say, I have one of my counties has made it clear that they have a system that seems to be working, and I appreciate that, and I hope that as we move through this process, that will be taken into consideration. My understanding is that these people will probably still be there. It's just that... I think that with all the things that are happening in our counties, having a good system is important.
And Mr. Chair, Senator Roblin and I have the same county. And I would suggest that with lack of any resolution on ONC, their opinion of this may be different 2 years from now.
All right. So it looks like we're any more discussion? Any objection to the motion that's before us? With that, motion carries. So what we are going to be doing is basically sending the bill with a due pass recommendation. It will be requested from the President's office to have it go down to Ways and Means.
Yeah.
I do believe from what Senator Cruz was saying, this is one of these areas that it's worth at least having continued discussion, not knowing what's going to potentially happen in some of the counties that are being impacted now. Fiscal basis to allow this discussion to happen and see where it goes immediately or possibly be available in the future.
Yep.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, I'd say to a degree this is a similar, although different discussion when we talk about consolidation of ESDs, because the services are still going to have to be delivered where they are. So, but coordination sometimes is a very positive move.
All right. Could I make one comment?
You may.
I just want to say that this is not the same as ESDs because we're dealing with death and we're dealing with a time factor and families that are waiting to receive the body. So I'd just like to put that on the record. Thank you.
All right. Any other comments? With that, we're going to go ahead and close the work session on Senate Bill 566. Open up a work session on 635.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 635 requires the use of a certified shorthand reporter or accurate method for creating a transcript in aggravated murder proceedings. We heard this on March 7th. This has no revenue impact, and a fiscal statement has been issued. This, we are also requesting a subsequent referral to Ways and Means on this bill. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. Thank you. Chair will take a motion on 635, and the motion is going to be that same.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 635 to the floor with a due pass recommendation that a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means be added, and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Senator Close moves Senate Bill 635 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation that a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means be added, and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Is there any discussion?
Oh, you got it right.
I just hope that if they, I hope they add it, because if you don't add it, then yes.
Okay. Now that we got that done, any objection? So ordered. And those last two do not need carriers since they're going to Ways and Means. We'll close the work session with Senate Bill 635. And
610, we're waiting for a fiscal.
610, we're still waiting.
Deal.
And we're waiting. Nope. And we're waiting. So we've waited.
Okay.
All right. So at this point, we're going to go through. Right now, we have Senate Bill 54, Senate Bill 90, Senate Bill 492, Senate Bill 610, Senate Bill 799, and Senate Bill 798. And Senate Bill 851 are going to be carried over or set, however you want to say it, set for this coming Thursday, the 18th. And if I missed any through this process that we didn't already do, they too will be carried over until Thursday, April 18th. We are covered, slacked, and I think we're done.
Okay.
All right, so tomorrow we are scheduled to start at 8, and I will check with Mike Schmidt just to see. We may be able to roll that back a little bit in time, seeing how much time we, or how quickly we're to proceed, but let's plan on 8. But if we do change the time, it will be like 8:15 or 8:30, and we'll let your offices know. But at this point, we'll be here tomorrow at 8. Anything else? We're adjourned.
Good job.